And welcome to Brewocracy Now on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, where we never know what kind of music will lead us into coffee with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. But here we are. Good afternoon, John.
Good, sunny, beautiful afternoon to you, Tim.
Oh, isn't it, though? Oh, man.
Holy moly.
Yeah, this is one of those days. This is the days we live for here, aren't they? Well, so glad to see you. And to put this out to the audience, this, if you don't know, is your chance to ask questions of John Morrow on the hot seat, on the air, live every Thursday on Brewocracy Now. And you can email those questions to me at dj@kptz.org, and I will read them for you. That's the way that it works now, in that it's very difficult to do the phone, actual phone call-ins over Zoom with the kind of distancing that we have to deal with at this point. And maybe sometime in the future, we will be getting there. But no shortage of topics. Anyway, Mr. Morrow?
Yes. Always fun here.
Yeah. I did read your column, your upbeat and optimistic column on The Leader, talking about things slowly, the rays of hope, as you put it, and what is slowly and carefully opening up in Port Townsend. Maybe you can let our listeners know what that is.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, you know, I think, like I said in the Leader this week, I paraphrasing myself, which is weird, but 4 months before this whole thing kind of happened to us as a globe. And I really savor those 4 months when I actually had coffee with people and got to meet people in person, got to go to events, that kind of thing. And I think even more so now, knowing what we've missed. So when we start turning back on services that people depend on in person, it feels good. Although I admit it also is complex, because we're still in a pandemic. And I think the message out there is, you know, we're not done yet. And so, congratulations to Jefferson County. We're, I think, about halfway vaccinated, which is fantastic. But we're still masking and distancing and washing our hands. And, you know, the more we do that, the quicker it'll be to get to the other side. We do know that there are ways to stay safe as we deliver services. And the library and the pool are two good examples. And they've been online for a while now, for a number of weeks. And actually those departments are or those services are increasing. So we're going to increase capacity of pool from 4 to 8 and lap swim. And I think it's from 4 to 10 and the deep water exercise. But you can find out more on our website, because I don't have that right in front of me. And the same with library. We're now to almost daily services and really throughout the day. So that feels good. And, congratulations both to the team for finding a way to make that happen, but also to the community for just, I have not heard of any issues or instances of concern. If there are, please do let me know. But it sounds like our team and the community have worked really well to make sure people can get books and services and lap swim and exercise that they need, and do so safely. City Hall opened this week. That felt great, because this building, like I say in the column, this is the community's building, this wonderful old historic building. And to actually see people in the building this week has been great. Not a lot of drama, a stream of folks coming in, well spaced out, some by appointments only. Our downstairs team at the new front desk has been fantastic. I've heard nothing but kind of calm and pretty low amounts of concern. So we're hoping that continues. And I do ask folks, if you're going to come to City Hall, first just check to see if you can do what you need to do remotely, because we are encouraging people still to, if you can do it by email or by a phone call, that's just better. But if it's complex or if you need to come in, you're now able to do that at City Hall from 10 till 2, Monday through Friday.
And there are certain things that just need that human contact. And I'm so glad to see that these things are slowly opening up carefully. I know you are a cautious person when it comes to these sort of things. And That was all good news. And I think the way that you ended was to bring calm, consideration, and kindness to you, because as we know, things can get heated sometimes. People are, you know, they're frankly tired of a lot of the restrictions that we are faced with. And so these things do happen. So I'm glad. And also, the library is open for 20 minutes of actually browsing the stacks. That's a big deal.
Yeah, we did that actually, gosh, it must be more than a month ago. We allowed folks in for 15 minutes, but with quite limited hours. And that's actually, it's quite a bit different now. Now it's a lot more significant, the time that you're able to, you know, the times you're able to come into the library during the week. And actually we've extended that time to 20 minutes. You can come into the library Tuesdays through Saturdays from 10 to 5. So that's, they're kind of grab and go visits, we're calling them. You can use, you know, a number of our services, but there's still some things we're not letting people back into the Carnegie Reading Room yet, which is a real, almost a community tragedy, given how awesome that room is. We're hopefully that soon. We still haven't turned on library in-person, you know, library computer access. You know, some programming obviously is not quite up to in-person yet. So there, you know, we're still very much in this, but you know, as things go, and if you can help us both by being kind and by just remembering that you can have an impact on someone else's health, then we can continue to turn more things back on.
That's all good news. And I always go back, Mr. Morrow, to something you said, I think a few episodes ago, that because this, the COVID hit so soon after you moved here, that you hadn't really been through the whole summer Port Townsend experience, you and your little daughter. And in my mind, that's, you know, clowns and jugglers and mimes and what have you on Water Street. It's certainly unique to the culture of Port Townsend. So I'm hoping that that happens soon.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's already here, right? You know, I shout out to PT Main Street and both their busking that's coming back with events, I believe, on Saturdays. You know, they're doing an Earth Day cleanup that you can still register for. I believe it's happening this weekend, I think on the 17th at PT Main Street. So, you know, there are things that you can enjoy right now. And it's just really encouraging to hear some of our just incredible nonprofit organizations that some of their programming might actually be in person this year. And that makes me quite happy.
And just to put this out, because it's something that's close to my heart, that Buskers on the Block, I think 20 different musicians, weather dependent. But that is such a huge step forward in my mind, to have the local musicians, and actually for Main Street to be able to pursue the grant that pays these musicians is wonderful. And there's a lot of good work going on behind the scenes, and those people that are doing that really deserve a big thank you from everybody in this community.
Indeed.
Moving on to another subject. How about ferry? What's happening with the ferry, Mr. Morrow?
Well, look, I'm going to tell a personal story, because I feel like this is one that's hit me directly. I think I made a booking on a ferry late May with my family on a weekend. And, you know, I received this from two angles. I think one angle is I was, you know, the government affairs director for State Ferries sent me a note along with other, you know, community leaders around here and likely throughout the region. And also as a user who had booked a ferry, I had to change because I had booked on the second ferry and that ferry was no longer available. So, you know, just for those listening, you know, Washington State Ferries, I mean, I actually have a lot of heart for what's happening, because they're trying to figure out how to get through COVID with, you know, pretty considerable restrictions and, you know, funding challenges and that. But you know, they've actually decided to reduce service on every route. You know, they had planned on May 9th to increase service, including to San Juan's. You know, and they're going to add a second boat at Port Townsend Coopville, but they're not going to do that until at least June 6th. And the rationale there is a spike in COVID cases and, you know, requests from some of their staff and concerns. You know, trying to get their staff vaccines, you know, get them up to speed there. You know, it's not great news for us here. And I guess, you know, I don't want to be too careless about saying this, but what concerns me is that this is a pretty sudden surprise. And I think it was also a surprise to some of the advisory committee members that were not really consulted here to make that decision. So it's a little bit of a shocker. I learned of this about as it happened. It's disappointing news. Can I put a bright spot on it though?
Please. Is there one?
Well, I mean, there really isn't. I'll just be honest, you know, reducing ferry service, hurts employers when people come across, hurts traffic from people kind of accessing all that we have to offer here. And, you know, it literally impacts the city's ability to provide services financially due to some of it. So, you know, it's not great. We were staring down a possibility, though, that state ferries would have to pull back and actually cancel routes entirely. And I don't think, you know, Port Townsend Coopville was literally on the chopping block and about to get axed. But, you know, there was talk of significant service cuts and maybe even pulling some routes completely, you know, like Kingston Edmonds or Port Townsend Coopville, kind of in there, what do we need to do to balance things out? And so we're not staring down an existential crisis of actually losing a route right now. And I think that's the only silver lining I could pull off is that we still do have ferry service. If you did make reservations, for May and June, you know, beyond, you want to go back and check to see if you still have a spot.
Yes, this is important because those reservations were taken and then the date was pushed back. So yeah, there may be some people out there that are very disappointed if they don't check it now. So just to put that out there to the listeners, because KPT, if you're listening to KPTZ, you shouldn't be on that list.
That's right. I mean, to me, it depends. It just shows how awesome we are as a community that we're just surrounded by water and we've got this maritime highway that kind of connects us through, you know, but also how critical that infrastructure is, you know, and you know, a decision by state ferries to, you know, postpone or cancel routes really impacts us significantly. It's not just those who might have to wait another hour for a ferry to get to Port Townsend to buy an ice cream. I mean, you know, this is the livelihood of a lot of folks here. And I guess I just urge state ferries to really consider those widespread impacts to towns like ours when they make those decisions.
You hear that, state ferries? Are you out there?
Respectfully, of course, respectfully.
Yes. Well, that's all true. And there, where you sit, these are things that you need to think about. I'm sure that most people, they just happen. And we kind of roll with it, but there are economic impacts to everything that happens. I remember the last time we had ferry problems. it was not good. Although I must say that things are looking fairly decently as far as our establishments downtown. There are things opening instead of closing, as far as I can tell from where I sit. So we're hoping for the best on that. Moving on to your community services officer.
Yeah.
We're losing her.
Yeah. Is that correct? In one way, yes. And in another way, thank goodness, no. Wendy wears a lot of hats and, I think I could say pretty unequivocally, she's exceedingly well respected in the community for all those hats she wears. And you know, she's made the I can't speak about anything aside from what's public information in the leader, but you know, she's made the decision to move on from the city. Maybe I'm saying too much here, but I'm both devastated because, you know, Wendy's just been tremendous and that community services officer role, what I think, both the community wants, which is, a police presence that is about events and collaboration and partnerships with our local downtown community, but also deserves because, you know, that's a really great way of unlocking the potential of how to work with law enforcement and, you know, get some great value for our community. So, I mean, Wendy just is a real pioneer in that space and just did her job exceedingly well. You know, so it's devastating, but it's also exciting because, you know, she could put a lot of her brain power and muscle power into her culinary endeavors and be very much right here in Port Townsend. So all of us still stand to benefit from her change of focus to her business and her family business.
Well, that's a good point. And again, not to go beyond what was in the leader, but Leela's Kitchen out there off of Rainier Street is, I mean, if you're going to quit your job as a community service officer, that's a great place to go because it's almost like a stationary food truck. I mean, I just think that the concept is wonderful. And so that is definitely a good addition to Port Townsend.
And yeah, so, and I think, sorry, Tim, I was just going to say the momentum that Wendy really helped build, and it was really nice to see it reflected in the leader article about the Streeteries project and her sense of pride there, where, again, I'm paraphrasing, which is unfortunate, I think, but, you know, that's, you know, local government at its best, I think, is something along those lines where we're, you know, partnering with downtown businesses, thinking about how to keep people safe, businesses working. You know, it just, you know, she brought a real strong spirit of collaboration there. And I think it sets an expectation, you know, and I literally ran over here from getting a quick coffee at Velocity with our future police chief because he happens to be in town and we're touching base. And this came up because, you know, there's an expectation that we're going to continue. We're not going to not have a community services officer. And so he and I were, that was part of the discussion actually just a few moments ago.
Well, that's wonderful because that was my next question. And you came straight from coffee with the guy, Thomas Olson, who starts on May 3rd, correct?
Yeah, he's going to come by on the 26th of April to do all his administrative paperwork stuff and onboarding training. But he really starts in earnest on May 3rd. Yeah, I can't wait, really. I've really enjoyed, and one of the things when I was saying, Tom, I got to go because I got to get on KPDZ, he said, well, do you expect me to join you once in a while? I said, of course. I'd love to have you on so you can introduce yourself to the community. In fact, let's maybe plan for it that first week if we can squeeze it into his calendar, because I'd really like the community to be able to interface with Tom or Chief Olson and get a feel for, you know, just what I would say. I have no concerns setting high expectations here. You should have high expectations on who the next police chief should be. Tom's very thoughtful, very smart. And I've really enjoyed, you know, the months of getting to know him as we've worked through this process. So you're in for a real treat. The transition too between Interim Chief Troy Serber, who's been just serving this community for almost 24 years, and Mr. Olson, it's just been, it's been seamless. They talk all the time. You know, we're not paying Tom yet. we don't do that until May, really. But he's just really, he's right into the thick of things already and really committed to making sure that the transition's smooth and that we get a real running start for when he arrives.
Well, you know, I think it's a great idea, John, to have him on and introduce him to the community so where you can actually see him and talk to him like we do with you. And I promise to do everything in my power not to ask him to explain the four-way stop and how to proceed at a four-way stop, because this community really needs some help with that.
Can you believe that came up in conversation today? Just kind of as a side note, he was talking about literally about good behavior with stop signs. I mean, he's writing the details and he's a visionary leader too. So I can't wait to get him on the show.
You know, I totally believe that. There was a Facebook post about it that I followed, and somebody posted something about folks not knowing actually the rules on a four-way stop. And after 200 comments of varying degrees on how to navigate a four-way stop, I was wondering if I knew what I was doing. I mean, it was like I was at the end of all this. I thought, man, maybe I just don't know how to do it. So anyway, four-way stops, yes. It's the nuts and bolts of the city, right?
We'll cover that alongside the new rules that went into effect October last year for cyclists or people, which I feel bad when someone's walking on the sidewalk and I go through a stop sign kind of coasting. I feel like I need to stop to set a good example, which I'd always historically done. And you know, those laws changed. We adopted the Idaho stop. So, you know, unless there's another vehicle there waiting to, you know, you need to stop if there's cars there is the kind of quick answer for anybody on a bike. But if there aren't cars there, you could proceed cautiously like a yield sign. And, you know, I always feel bad when I do that because I feel like I'm setting a bad example, but the law actually has changed.
The law has changed. And you know, John Morrow, it's the little things, because I can understand your reluctance to roll through there as the city manager, but it is perfectly legal now in to do that.
So anyone, but if you see another car there or another bike, you can call me out.
It all comes back to you, John. We have 5 minutes left, and in these 5 minutes, one thing that's been really nice in speaking with you on the air is coming to a greater understanding of how municipal governments work. And one of the big things happening right now are the city council seats, which are open for candidates. Filing period May 17th through 21st. And as of today, we know that Michelle Sandoval has announced not running. Ariel Spesser, not running. And Pam Adams, correct? Isn't that what was on Charlie's, I think Charlie Burmant spoke to her.
I was not able to pick up Charlie's piece because I was having coffee. So this is the first time learning.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's news to me also, and I wouldn't have known it unless Charlie came out of the booth as I was coming in and mentioned it to me. So I'm pretty positive about that. So we have three seats, and this is significant. This is a good number of seats on the city council that are open for candidates. And how are you feeling about, I know that we won't even know what level of interest there is out there until later in May, but it's it is significant.
Yeah, it is significant. You know, I think I have a strong interest because these are the people I report to, but I also have ethical responsibilities to stay pretty clear of all this myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess I can talk about it in kind of general platitudes and say, you know, a healthy local democracy requires contested seats, platforms with ideas and dialogue. And, you know, ultimately this community gets to choose who it wants to represent them. In decision-making. So I feel absolutely passionately about that. And I hope that we have really, you know, contested races with great dialogue and new ideas. And I think it's also an opportunity to help understand how the system works because, you know, it's not always clear
Simply.
And you know, I think also there's maybe if I could just manufacture a few key components of what I would consider a good local representative. I mean, first is probably commitment because, you know, it's a pretty thankless and challenging role, you know, and it's not a full-time role like a county commissioner, but, you know, there's a lot of meetings, there's a lot of decisions, and it's complex and you need to chew through information and process it very, very fast. And I think there's an expectation that, you know, you'll be listening to the community as you do so. So, you know, it's a real special kind of person who wants to just take all the bruises and really none of the credit in making some of those decisions. You know, so I think that kind of commitment piece is really important. And then I guess I'd say too, you know, a lot of people get into politics, I think, because they have a very passionate cause. And I don't want to dissuade folks from that. I think it's important to have a passionate cause, but you know, the city's an ecosystem and decision-making is in this like really complex environment where you can't talk about public safety and law enforcement without also talking about public infrastructure or planning or a range of other topics that all swirl together. So, you know, a broad understanding of the interconnections of everything is really required to kind of navigate on the political realm, particularly locally. So, you know, if you like dabbling in a little bit of everything and you like to see the connections between things, you know, it's a great opportunity to do that.
Well, we are at the end of our time. City Manager John Morrow, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that is an excellent point, that a single issue is not enough. A passion for a single issue is not enough to do this job. I think that's become abundantly clear in interviewing the city council people and looking at the range of committees and decision-making that they are tasked with. So thank you very much for bringing that up. And thank you, as usual, John Morrow, for being on the air with us. And I look forward to speaking with you next week.
Great to see you, Tim. Thanks, everybody. Right. See you next week.
Bye.